We are very lucky. Thanks to alert New Yorkers and professional police officers, we avoided what could have been a very deadly event.
That's New York City Mayor Bloomberg on Saturday, just a few hours after that bomb made of gasoline, propane, and non-explosive fertilizer was found in an SUV in Times Square. Past the shock of the first hours, we're getting more details. The attack's deadly potential gave way to its many really odd elements. We're joined again by WNYC's Bob Henley. He's going to give us the latest details about what the police know and what they don't know. So first, you talked a little bit about this person of interest that's seen on the videotape, and you say basically the only thing we know is that he looked furtive.
Right, and changed his shirt, looked over his shoulder, and then headed south. And we also know that there is apparently a tourist who went from Pennsylvania who apparently has footage that may be relevant to the inquiry, and the NYPD detectives were detailed out there yesterday. So today, we should see if that was positive. Also, there were, you know, there's hundreds of private sector video cameras and about 82 NYPD cameras. And what a lot of people need to understand is that these are not manned 24/7.
Right.
These are really archival. They're historic. They capture what has happened. They're not a loss prevention tool so much. So that's why it's very much, we're very much reliant on these street vendors who in New York City, there's a local law that if you're a Vietnam vet, you can be a street vendor. That's what we give you the opportunity. And Lance Orton and Dwayne Jackson were pivotal to this. It was their direct action, sense of civic engagement, connecting, it's very Capra-esque actually, to Mounted Patrolman Wayne Rattigan, who then saw it and then with two rookie officers started the process that actually ended prevented panic. And that's the thing that could have actually been more damaging than this fizzle of a bomb.
That's a really good point. You know, police detectives often say that bombs are like fingerprints, that they can take a bomb apart and really know a lot about the person who made it. So what does this particular bomb, this 55-inch tall bomb, tell us?
Well, it was actually the use of an entire car as a system. There is some discussion that it has some kind of similarities to an unsuccessful effort in Glasgow in 2007, the idea of a kind of propane being used with gasoline, with fireworks. And again, this is not the kind of, you know, 24 cell phone thing. This is kind of old fashioned in the sense that it had a clock.
It's called and primitive.
Exactly. But that also means resourceful. And that's the other thing people have to understand is that someone looked around and kind of free associated what they could find and get their hands on. And that intent can be deadly.
Do we know, you were talking earlier about how we know that the license plate was one that was possibly stolen off of another vehicle.
Well, we do know that, right.
Yeah, so have we interrogated the owners yet? Do we know anything about
them? Well, interrogated was a harsh phrase. I think that a gentleman up in Connecticut who runs a junkyard repair shop, evidently at 3 a.m. in the morning, the FBI went to see him and asked about the history of this plate. Apparently it was on a truck that was supposed to be repaired. And he can't explain. He says, the people break in all the time. I've got holes in my fences. You know, I can't tell you how the plate got down.
Dogs.
Exactly.
Okay. Bob Henley is a reporter with our partner, WNYC. Let's speak now to Lydia Khalil. She's worked as a counterterrorism analyst with the NYPD between 2006 and 2008 and specializes in Middle East politics and international terrorism. Good morning, Lydia.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So we have a claim of responsibility from the Pakistani Taliban, although analysts are already poo-pooing that. How seriously should we take this?
Well, I think we do need to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. The claim that this Pakistani Taliban group put out saying they took responsibility is very vague. They didn't give any details about the plot. They just said an attack in the United States. And they also have a history of claiming attacks that they weren't responsible for. So we do need to take it with a bit of grain of salt.
What's their motivation for taking responsibility for a terrorist attempt that was not only foiled, but everyone is calling primitive?
But nevertheless, it showed that whoever did this was able to penetrate an area that is of interest and quite crowded. And the fact that they were able to get this far shows some degree of skill and some degree of danger. So even though it was a foiled attack, there are people who would want to claim responsibility of it just because this is the first kind of serious type of attack we've seen in a long time in New York City.
Which means that the response is pretty interesting, not only to us citizens of New York, but also to other prospective terrorist groups. Lydia Khalil, from the perspective of the NYPD, how hesitant are they to describe all the security cameras that are there, the response time, the extent to which this was foiled? Because whether or not the Taliban was behind it, if they do want to try something in Times Square, they got a lot of information over the weekend.
They do, but I think this story has both good news and bad news. I mean, the bad news, obviously, is someone put an attempted bomb together, got it into a crowded historic area in New York City, and came close to detonating it. But there's a lot of good news. This was a very primitive type bomb. We saw the efforts of concerned and vigilant citizens, and no matter what type of police effort it could be, 100%, police could be everywhere all the time. Police will never be successful without the cooperation of everyday citizens. And the technology, of course, aided. So it does show that the mechanisms we do have in place our work, that our citizens are vigilant and they're willing to work with the police, which I think is very important.
Lydia, the discussion over the who was behind this attack, Chuck Schumer, a New York senator, had this to say on CNN.
The odds are quite high that this was a lone wolf. Could it have been a lone wolf connected to some terrorist organization? Possibly. But given the nature of the explosive and given the fact that there was no chatter on the line, signs point to, and again, it's preliminary, that this was not part of any terrorist plot by Al-Qaeda or another known terrorist organization.
That's a sentiment that was echoed by President Obama and Mayor Bloomberg as well, which actually was in direct contrast to what Secretary Janet Napolitano had to say. But what is the evidence that this is a lone wolf attack?
Well, I think based on the information we have so far, that is a likely scenario. It's either a lone wolf, either an amateur type group, or someone with kind of very loose connections to some sort of extremist group, whether it is Islamic extremist or we can't even rule out the possibility of right-wing extremist groups. So this is not likely, based on the information that we have so far, that it is carried out by a serious terrorist syndicate.
Well, whether it's carried out by a syndicate or a lone wolf, it's still classified as a terrorist attack, correct?
That's correct. I think what defines a terrorist attack are the motivations behind the attack. If the motivations are personal in nature, that tends not to be terrorism. If it's political in nature, then it does.
Okay. Lydia Khalil worked as a counterterrorism analyst with the NYPD between 2006 and 2008. She specializes in Middle East politics and international terrorism. And we got the latest details about the car bomb attempt in Times Square from Bob Henley, reporter with our partner WNYC.